It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Our study in the dispensation of the church has taken us to the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. We've been looking at the seven churches. And now we want to look at church number 5 that's listed there. And you'll find that in Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. The name of Sardis means remnant. This would be the Reformation church. And liberalism is seen as the perennial problem with Sardis. And I would ask you to go back and read those verses later on, Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and you'll read about this church. Sardis had a reputation as a live, dynamic, successful church, but it was actually dead. In other words, there was no lasting results. And so many times we see individuals who stand and they make a lot of noise, but you really see no real results for the Lord in their life. And this is something that James speaks of in James chapter 2, verses 18. It says, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." Now, we're not saved by works. But once again, as we think of this, after we get saved, there's to be work done. Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel. Now, this is not only for a pastor, a preacher, a Sunday school teacher, or someone like that. This is for everyone who names Jesus Christ as Savior. We're to go into the world and teach and preach. And if you're giving out the Word of God, there would be evidence of that as you're doing that. Now, you're not going to see everyone that you give a tract to or you witness to get saved. You're not going to see that. But there's going to be some evidence that you are doing the work of God. John chapter 15 and verse 5 says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." This means there should be godly results. And we're talking here about the church at Sardis, and we're talking about churches even today who have no results. They just make a lot of noise. On the outside, it looks like that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, but it's actually a dead church. They're not serving God. They're not doing what God would have them to do. And immediately, I think I hear someone saying, "Well, you shouldn't judge them." I don't judge them. The result of their work judges them. The Word of God lets us know if they're right or wrong. You stay in the Word of God. You stay in the book, the King James Bible, and you'll be able to be led along and shown the things that are right with churches. Now, the next church that we look at is the Philadelphia Church. And the name means brotherly love. This would be the revival church. Now, in this church, we see the existence of revivalism. Philadelphia represents the greatest recovery in the church since apostolic times. I'd like to read those verses right now. Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 13. It starts by saying, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Well, that is the church at Philadelphia. This, once again, would be the revival church. And don't we need that today? We look around and we need revival. And let me say that revival begins with me. Revival begins with you. You can only be revived, of course, if you've been saved. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, revive means that you're really going to turn everything over to the Lord. And we say, well, I did that when I got saved. Well, we get a little cold as we go on in this world. And we just need a, if I could use the term, a jump start sometimes. And that means that we say, Lord, forgive me. I'm saved, Lord, and I want to confess my sin to you. The Bible tells us for the Christian that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And some would say, you mean a Christian can sin? As long as we're in this body, we're going to have problems. Doesn't mean that we go looking for problems. Problems find us soon enough. But as long as we're in this body, we're going to have a difficult time because this body is sin. That does not give us the right to sin. It simply means that we're human and things will creep in sometimes. And that's when we say, oh, Lord, forgive me. I've let you down. 2 Chronicles 7:14 talks about this. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, that's the beginning of revival. Humbling yourself and pray. The Bible goes on to say we need to humble ourselves and pray, fall on our faces to God and say, oh, God, help me. Lord, I want to serve you. Fall on the faces, humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Don't go to a man looking for revival. Go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to God and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. We need to say, God, forgive me. Then, God says, will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I don't know if you've looked around lately, but this country and this world's in trouble. We're seeing so many things that has been godly turned upside down. We've seen so much going on. Once again, the Bible tells us that there's going to be wars and rumors of wars in the last days. Well, I believe that, you know, we've always heard of rumors and we've always seen wars, but I believe it's going to get worse and worse now. As we look around, our country needs our prayers. Our country needs help from God. Our country, and I'm talking about the people who live here. I'm talking about the saved people. If we would ask God to help us, to help those around us to know Him, to know our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, if we would get things right with God as saved people, I believe we would see this country turn around. And when this country would get turned around, then we would see a difference in the world, because then we would see people going out from this country and helping other individuals throughout the world to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You say, well, isn't that what we're doing? We're sending out missionaries. There needs to be more. There needs to be this world covered with people who are willing to go forth and say, Jesus saves, Jesus loves you, and Jesus wants you to know him as Lord and Savior. We need people who are ready and willing to do that. Well, how does that come about? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Quit living like the world. Quit living like the devil. Turn from our wicked ways. God says, then I will heal. I will hear from heaven and will forgive sin. Well, the next church that we look at is Laodicea. That's the seventh church that Christ looks at in the book of Revelation. And biblical expositors say that this church age that we're looking at, Laodicea, is from approximately 1900 to the rapture. Say, did you ever stop to think that we're living in the dispensation of the church? We have a great privilege. We're actually living in a dispensation. Well, the name Laodicea means people's rights. This is the worldly church. At Laodicea, we see materialism and another church's returning problems. In other words, this is materialistic. This is a church problem that returns over and over again in so many churches. Even right now, it's happening that people, they would rather have riches, they would rather have money than to be serving God. You say, are these people saved? Well, that's between them and the Lord. If they've trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're saved. They're on their way to heaven. But there should be no church that upholds sin in any manner, even if it has to do with money or anything else that is wrong. Now, money in itself is not wrong. And we know the Bible says the love of money is evil. And the love of money is the sin, not the money. It's how the money is used and how the money is coveted and lusted after. That's the sin when it's used in a wrong manner and it's lusted after. Well, the church at Laodicea was a materialistic church and is materialistic. We're seeing that today as we look around us in so many churches. This is the me church instead of God's church. Look what I'm doing, this church would say. Look what I've done for the Lord. And then they would try to act so pious and humble, but yet they say, look what I'm doing for the Lord. Now, we're to bring honor and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to sing praises to him. We are to pray to him. We are to raise him up to the people of this world. We are to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, to God the Father, to let other individuals to know how good God is, to know how much God loved us, that he sent his only begotten Son into this world to die so that people could have everlasting life. John 3:16 talks about that. God loved us so much that he sent his Son, and Jesus loved us so much that he went to the cross of Calvary. And saved person, Jesus loved you so much he died for you personally. Won't you serve him? Won't you let Jesus Christ lead and guide you? Get into his word, pray, and seek his face, and let him lead and guide you and help you be the person you need to be for him and bring honor and glory to him and to the Heavenly Father. May God help you.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.